Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar, Exceeding SQF Expectations, Addressing the Human Element of Food Safety. My name is Chase, and I will be moderating the session today. Now onto the fun part. I would like to take a quick moment to introduce our speakers. First, I am pleased to introduce Leanne Chaboff. Leanne has over 25 years of food service experience specializing in supply chain food safety and quality assurance, and is responsible for the technical elements of the SQF program, including the development, maintenance, and technical support of the SQF code and supporting materials. Prior to working at the SQF Institute, Leanne worked for the National Restaurant Association Solutions as the Director of Science and Regulatory Relations, where she developed services around food safety and food defense to fit within all segments of the restaurant industry. Welcome, Leanne. Next, I would like to introduce Laura Nelson. Laura is Vice President of Business Development here at Alchemy, and she brings over 30 years of experience implementing food safety and quality control programs for processing, packaging, food service, and retail operations. Laura has worked with global retailers and manufacturers in the implementation of their food and workplace safety programs. Welcome, Leanne and Laura. Today, Laura will walk us through the results of the annual Global Food Safety Training Survey conducted by Alchemy, BRC, SQF, Camden BRI, and TSI. Leanne will cover SQF's expectations for food safety training, common audit mistakes, and the latest updates coming with the release of the SQF Edition 8. Then Laura will discuss how to leverage these insights to build a strong food safety culture. Again, thank you for our two presenters today, and thank you for everyone taking time out of the day to join us. With no further ado, I will turn it over to Laura to get us started.
Thanks, Chase. And man, I'll add to Chase, thanks to all of you for allowing me to share with you the data from this fourth annual global training survey. You know, this data really provides some great insight on things like food safety culture, training practices, and opportunities to improve food safety. And the data certainly supports that that we as an industry are committed to food safety. And it also identifies some gaps around behavioral change, which is not expected. And then I'll close my presentation by sharing with you some proven approaches to closing some of the gaps that are identified so that you can consider and take a look at your programs. I am going to pose a question to you. Have you ever been in a position where you, I guess because of new regulations, maybe new equipment, a new process, new product, that you were asking your management for some more time to do that training necessary for to incorporate those changes? And your manager challenged you with, well, what are other people doing? Really, it's a pretty obvious question, but prior to the survey, we really didn't have a definitive response that could help plants really benchmark their training program with the global industry. And so to address that very question, Alchemy's worked with Camden and partners like SQF, and we put together a benchmarking tool that you'll see some today to really get at that question. This is the fourth annual, and we sent it over to 25,000 food industry sites worldwide. So as you can see, the data really represents a majority of the industry sector, so we have a lot of good representation there. Additionally, you can see that we had good representation from the food industry globally, and so we feel pretty good about that. And for those of you that participated, we an extra big thank you. For the fourth year in a row, the most important training goal selected by almost, it's just right at 80% of the respondents, was improving food safety culture. And that was followed closely behind with ensuring effective employee performance and producing safe, wholesome product. You know, it was really, it was only a short time ago that food safety culture was undefined. You know, everybody was using a different definition, and it was just something that kind of a buzzword that started. But now, books written on the topic, we have research, we've got training courses on it, audits now, assessments, and the list goes on. In fact, I just spent 2 days in Minneapolis at the GFSI Technical Working Group, the Food Safety Culture Working Group. So they've convened a working group just to address this important topic, and we've spent about 8 months so far looking at what are the characteristics and the descriptors around food safety culture, and we'll be presenting that to the GFSI board, that document, and February of next year for consideration. And then that's only phase one. Phase two would be to really start to construct a voluntary assessment form so that you could look at how you benchmark against other folks. So that work is ongoing. We have about 30 industry experts part of that great team, and a lot of good work is coming out of that. Let me ask you, what is your biggest challenge to developing a food safety culture? And if you will, just take a moment to take a poll. Is it high turnover? Is it just a lack of understanding that's holding us up? Is it time and resources? Maybe negative employee attitudes? What is your biggest challenge? So it looks like lack of time and resources is the winner, not unexpectedly, followed by negative employee attitudes. Well, if you look at what the survey said, the industry said the exact same thing. Lack of resources, it's certainly a gigantic challenge, especially with all the things that we have on our plate. And then followed again with negative employee attitudes. So this group really reflects the industry. You can see, I mean, the challenges are multifold. The multicultural workforce certainly presents some challenges, some maybe lack of support through management. The turnover is a challenge for us, communication, lack of coordination. So we have a lot of challenges in that area, and we'll be talking about some of those a little later, how we can address that. Some other information from the survey: benefits experienced from effective employee training. You know, around the world, we have a pretty good agreement that effective employee training really can have a direct impact on food safety and product quality. In fact, the respondents noted that the top three benefits included improved product quality, improved food safety culture, and fewer food safety incidents. But the list continues, right? Higher productivity, lower employee turnover, higher retention. So lots of good things can come out of really effective employee training. The other thing that we asked for, and this was a common question, what's everybody training on? What are other companies doing around training? And so we asked that question through the survey, and you can see we broke it up between managers and supervisors and training for employees. So, wow, I mean, we're doing a lot of training as an industry. We're covering a broad spectrum of topics, and you can see those top popular topics are the ones we've been training for a long time, GMPs, personal hygiene, certainly food safety, allergen program. But if you look towards the bottom, we're starting to see some new things coming out of there, training around food safety culture, for example, and the GFSI program overview, which I know we've worked with SQF to develop. So a lot of interesting things, and not leaving it just to the supervisors, but to have the employees have some true understanding of risk assessments and environmental monitoring, those kind of things. So, and you can see horizon scanning is now on that list. So a lot of work is being done by the industry to train. We did ask, as part of the survey, how satisfied are you with your training, both in the quantity, the amount of your training, and in the quality of that training? And you can see here that the majority of the industry is saying, you know what, we're pretty darn satisfied with what we have. And that could very well be we're happy and we basically don't have any time to do anything else, and we're doing all we can. But there is a section there that is dissatisfied in a small amount, very small, that's very dissatisfied. So for the most part, we're pretty okay with what we have. This other question, though, really suggests kind of a conundrum for us. We asked people to respond, despite our efforts, we still have employees not following our food safety program on the plant floor. And it's probably not surprising to all of you joining here that 62% agreed with that. Yeah, despite all that time and all that training that we just talked about, we're still having some issues, right? The learning isn't really transferring into the doing consistently. We're not seeing those consistent behaviors. And so that's something that we're going to try to tackle a little later in our presentation today. The other thing that the other question oftentimes we receive is how much time should we be training on food safety? What are other people doing? And so here's a great chart that kind of shares with you the true disparity in training time. And it really is a pretty broad group. Again, we asked what time are you training, the amount of time you're training for employees and the amount of time for management. And you can see it's anywhere from less than 4 hours, maybe about 20% or more. And then it grows from there to greater than 35 hours. And so I think this is interesting, especially with people that are getting some challenges on trying to carve out training time in their companies. There's a pretty big disparity, and so you can kind of see where you fall in that. And I think we can all agree that if you you're double or triple training time around food safety, you're going to be getting perhaps a different result than if you're training just a shorter amount of time and spending time on the important topic of food safety. This other data, and this is our last data point we have, I'll share with you today on the survey, but we asked what kind of training are we doing, and what we're seeing is increasingly companies are really driving food safety training across their supply chains. And they're requiring their raw material suppliers, their service suppliers, equipment suppliers to all undergo food safety training, and including temporary staff. But we're seeing some opportunities around temporary staff, and I know Leanne will comment on this from the SQF perspective, but there seems to be some gap in some of the training expectations, and I think this is something we all agree that we might struggle with, and depending on what sector we're in. On these temporary staff, does a staffing agency handle that? Do we, as a plant, do that? To what extent do we train those folks? And so all of those things are critical to really answer, because they can, depending on their job task, can certainly introduce some risk to our patients. So that's some of the data that I wanted to share with you today, and hopefully it was helpful for you, and we'll talk more about it. But for now, I'd like to turn this over to Leanne so she can give you some perspective on what they're seeing from an SQF perspective, and kind of some of the new things that are coming down the pike from SQF. So Leanne?
Thanks, Laura. I appreciate the welcome. My name is Leanne Chuboff. I always forget to introduce myself. Senior Technical Director with SQF. And what I'm going to do is build on what Laura just said. So I'm going to give you our perspective on training, give you the audit results that we have specifically around training, and then talk about some of the best practices that we see could happen in training and what you can do to implement in your facility right now. And then I'm going to give you a little snippet about what's new, specifically a little bit about Edition 8, but some of the other things that we got going on as well. So let's start with our poll. We have a poll too. So what is the number one training nonconformity observed by SQF auditors? Consistent application of training for temporary contract workers, inadequate or incomplete documentation, unsatisfactory HACCP training, or inadequate proficiency in food safety fundamentals. What do you guys think it would be? Okay, I see that incomplete documentation is the number one that you guys think it would be. And actually, that really is the number one. So you're right. Probably what you're seeing is that right there where it's the training skills register isn't being fully completed. So it's not being documented. It's not up to date. The specific details aren't included. Temporary or refresher training isn't included, and the type's not included. Dates are missing. So bottom line, it's the documentation just isn't being fulfilled. But some of the other areas that we're seeing is that training isn't completed for everybody. So all the staff, all needed staff isn't being completed. So temps, you know, temporary staff and temporary labor specifically aren't being included. Also HACCP and CCP operators, but if you're doing a quality plan, so at SQF, if you're level three, the CQP operators also aren't being trained. So make sure that you include them in there as well. The refresher training isn't at a suitable frequency. So oftentimes facilities are forgetting to even include refresher training or aren't focusing on identifying what types of training needs to be refreshed. So it's not including GMPs and then sometimes not even including HACCP as well. And then, like we were talking about, the training records are incomplete. Oftentimes it's not being documented as well. And then also looking at the results, we're seeing that it's not just documentation, but that auditors are seeing employees really aren't even following those written instructions. So either the instructions aren't there, they're outdated, or the employees are just literally not even following those instructions that have been developed. So we're not connecting everything together when it comes down to what those instructions are. So what can you do to improve your training program? So, you know, like I said, there is a very strong fundamental base. The training, the biggest nonconforming documentation, but there are some things that when I looked at that in the observations, what we could do to improve it. So number one, identify the training needs within the facility. So figure out what your needs are and why you're training. Is it due to a regulatory requirement? Is it to update knowledge and skills? Is it there to change an attitude? I mean, we talked about poor attitude being one of the obstacles of implementing training. Is it there to change attitude? Is it there to influence behavior? So identify those training needs at the facility. Understand whether it's a temporary worker or who you're doing. So identify those training needs in the facility. And verify that the training is effective. And on the next slide, we're going to talk about thinking differently and how that training is effective. So it's not just knowledge is power, because we're seeing that knowledge, having it, a lot of times employees know what to do. They just don't have either the tools or the resources or whatever it would be to execute that training. So knowledge isn't just what you want to do for your training program. Knowledge isn't training. You can't just educate. You need to educate. But you also need to make sure that you're training them in order to do the right thing. Make sure you include your refresher training in the program, your GMPs and HACCP, and obviously your documentation to keep that training skills register up to date. We talked about focusing not just on your CCP operators, but if you're level three quality, your CQP operators when it comes to implementing HACCP. Make sure all your work instructions are available and are up to date, and complete those training records that you have and keep them up to date. That's what the auditors are looking at as it relates to training for SQF. But what I want you to do is think a little bit differently. So here's a quote. Really, if we're only going to think about just implementing training as it relates to the code, because I like this quote because it makes us think outside the box. If the only tool you have is a hammer, then you tend to see every problem as a nail. And we want to look at it. How can we look at training differently and different ways to train different people. So we put together a couple things that you can do to think differently. So a lot of times we just focus on education and training, but we forget about the communication piece and what we want to do on how to communicate our food safety training program, right? So it's developing your education and your training, but there's also a communication piece that we need to focus on. So when you're looking at developing your education and training, make sure you don't forget about your communication piece, and we'll talk about that and the last piece and how you can think about that differently. But implement your training programs to create a change in behavior. That's really what you're focusing on. You're developing your training programs to create this change in behavior. You're seeing an issue, or you're seeing something that you believe needs to create a change. So just don't think that all you have to do is show people how to wash their hands, but you need to include other things like stories rather than statistics. So it means a lot. Or use a personal, something personal to create that change in behavior, to either personal, whether you're saying something, what connecting it to your food safety at home and food safety at work. So use that. So application-based. And use visual concepts, so something that they can see and looking at that. And kind of look at... look at what you currently have available, and maybe you need to redo that. So we looked at those work instructions, right, as one of the non-conformances that we're seeing under training. But take a look at those work instructions. Are they too complicated? Do we need to simplify that? Do we need to create job aids rather than a simple step-by-step procedure, something that's going to create that change in behavior and include those employees? Because a lot of times we're creating job aids, but those job aids or training, work instructions, whatever they might be, but they might not be accessible or available, or that the employee can actually understand what they're saying. So look at that. You're trying to change behavior. The other thing you want to look at is gaining a commitment from the employees. So when we talked about measuring effectiveness of training, a lot of times all we have is employees signing off a sheet that they were trained on that particular topic. But look at it from a different perspective. If you ask them to commit to this behavior, either in a yes and a no, so they're signing that yes, I am going to commit to changing my behavior. So on the webinar, you could see it's just a generic food safety commitment statement. So basically, you're thanking them for participating in the training, and then we're asking you to commit to join us in following these principles that you've just learned. Will you do this for us, yes or no? So if they, then they're committing to this, and I think this would be a really neat tool to implement, and then you're gaining that commitment from the employee. So it's just something simple that you can implement, and then you're gaining that commitment from in those employees level. And then we talked about that communication piece, and that in a sense what you're trying to do is market your food safety plan. So how are you communicating food safety in your operation? How are you marketing your food safety plan? There's a lot of different ways that you can market your food safety plan. You can use pictures and change them out, frequently. You can keep your message specific. So what is the behavior you're trying to change? So make sure you're focusing on that. You're keeping it simple. You're changing it up. You're making sure that you have different communication pieces so that employees aren't just becoming complacent to one sign. So think of the often used employees must use hands when, or must wash their hands when after using the restroom. It's a simple sign. It's a placard that everybody puts in their restroom. And oftentimes it's before you leave the room or above the sink or whatever. But if you could change it up, use a visual a poster or something like that, a job aid, to remind people to continuously wash their hands and teach them why they should wash their hands and what they should be doing, and relate it even to at-home safety as well. And oftentimes, the catchy jingles that we hear, if you make it rhyme, they'll keep food safety top of mind, right? So you could market your food safety plan and come up with catchy slogans. And the other thing, as an example, I'll say Walmart uses their high fives. So they have a high five mentality, and the high fives are those five things that they need to, that all their employees need to focus on for food safety, like personal hygiene and time temperature control and cross contamination, those kinds of things. So they have their high fives that they focus on, and that's surrounding their marketing. They're marketing their food safety plan in their operation. So employees know what those high fives are, right? So they're keeping it simple. It's kind of catchy. They have simple rhymes, those kinds of things. So think differently when you're implementing your food safety plan. And what you want to do is, in a sense, market your food safety plan and have that communication piece to your employees so that they're keeping food safety top of mind all the time. So what's new at SQF? Edition 8.0 will be coming out next year. We are working on developing the contents for Edition 8.0. The code will be publicly available for comments beginning November 15th. So that's our goal, is to publish it by November 15th for public comments. That's not the final code. But we always have a public comment period to say, here's our anticipated changes, provide us our feedback. And we want to hear from you. If you're on this webinar, you're a stakeholder, and we want to hear from you. So we ask you to take the opportunity to review the code and provide us with your comments. So there's things that are in there that perhaps you don't think they belong in there. There are things that aren't in there that perhaps you think should be in there, and we want to have that feedback from you all. Some of the things that we're adding is we're going to, there's an emphasis on management commitment. We're going to incorporate probably having that communication piece when it comes to marketing, internal marketing of your food safety plan. We'll be looking at having communication between the plant manager and the SQF practitioner. We're going to, our technical requirements will focus on what's causing recalls, so allergen labeling or labeling itself, supplier controls, as well as environmental monitoring programs. Our focus isn't just going to be on having a training program, but demonstration of that training. So again, it's looking at how our employees demonstrating their knowledge, not just having that knowledge, but also the demonstration of that knowledge. We'll be adding that food fraud component to our code as well. So Edition 8, based off the public comments, we're also waiting for the benchmarking requirements from GFSI. Once we get from that, then we'll look at publishing our code, hopefully by the end of the year. Again, it really depends on GFSI and when they publish their requirements document. And we would, so the expectation is that implementation for Edition 8.0 will be no sooner than June. So June or later. So the second half of 2017 is when implementing the SQF code. So no earlier than June. I just wanted to be clear about that. Other things that we have going on, of course, FSMA is always top of mind. We have our own FSMA resource page on the SQF website. If you go sqfi.com, if you look at the icon that says, are you FSMA ready? Then you can click on there, and it's going to hit you right to our FSMA resource page. On our FSMA resource page, we have a checklist that identifies those differences between SQF and the preventive controls rule. So it's like a readiness tool. You can use that checklist to say, hey, I'm SQF plus this checklist. I should be close to compliance. So, of course, it's not going to guarantee you compliance because we're not regulators. However, it will give you an idea as if I'm ready or not to be, if I'm FSMA compliant. We also have guidance addressing those differences. We have an FAQ page that we get frequently asked questions regarding FSMA. We have resources listed on that FAQ page as to where you can go for FSMA assistance. We have FDA links, and we have news regarding FSMA. So check out our FSMA resource page. It's right on our website. And while you're on our website, you can go right to our international conference. So if you go to the events tab, you'll be linked right to our international conference, and you can take a look as to what's going on there. Our conference is in October, end of October in beautiful Orlando, Florida, right next to Universal Studios. We have pre-conference training that's available. There's some 2 days and 1 day classes. So starting on the 23rd, we have pre-conference training. So you can PCQI training, SQF implementing training. We have validation versus verification, internal auditor training. So lots of good pre-conference training session. During the conference, there'll be a FSMA update for every one of those seven rules. We try to have a session on each one of those rules. The conference is designed for practical solutions, okay? So it's not a real technical conference. We're not looking at telling you the ins and outs of whole genome sequencing. Really, what we want to tell you is how can you set up your environmental monitoring program? That's what we want to do, where it's practical solutions for the everyday supplier so that they can go back immediately to their operations and say, how can I make my food safety system better? What do I need to do to always continuously improve? Of course, there's networking. There's usually, last year we had over 600 attendees. This year, I think we're getting close to almost 700 attendees. So as soon as you step in, you're networking with all these different professionals. And of course, professional development is always top of mind. Our keynote speakers are really focused on improving you professionally. So what's new on the training end? Next year, one of the differences within Edition 8 is the quality system. So we will be pulling out quality systems so that it would be a separate module. So quality food safety will be separated from the quality systems. Doesn't mean that quality is going away or food safety is going away or anything. You could still do food safety and quality in the same audit. All we're saying is that quality will be assessed separately. So if you fail quality, you still keep your food safety certification. But we'll be working on an online quality systems approach as well with Alchemy. So that will be available mid-next year. And we're also looking at implementing an audit traceback approach, meaning doing, let's say, a vertical audit or a true traceback exercise. So we're looking at doing this so that it's not from an auditor's perspective, it's more of a management systems approach where you're looking at all aspects of the operation and those interrelationship of the different requirements within the SQF code. So we're looking at doing that as well for Edition 8. Edition 8 will also have a retail code. So the retail code will be available when we publish Edition 8. So that retail code will be for the retailers that are out there. And we have a lot of good interest from the retailers. So we're really excited about publishing that code as well. And then, of course, Edition 8 will have those GFSI benchmarking requirements. We will not publish Edition 8 until those benchmarking requirements are published because we don't want to turn around and publish an Edition 8.0 or an 8.1. We're anticipating some of those changes. So, but in the end, we want to make sure that we sync up with the benchmarking requirements before we go ahead and publish. And with that, I think that's all I have. And I'm going to send it back to Laura, so that she can talk about a little bit more about how we can address those gaps in training and really, I think differently. So there's some good tips coming up. Thanks.
Thanks, Leanne. I'm going to be building on some of the great suggestions that Leanne had around training and some things you can do. So from the perspective that I'm bringing in, you know, over the last 10 years, we've seen some common training gaps, and we know that they can negatively impact your training effectiveness, but really more importantly, they can negatively affect your business. So it's important to kind of take a look at that. The reality is that, you know, what we may have worked for us years ago is simply isn't effective today. And the demographics of our employees have changed. Our operations are more and more complex, and we have more regulations. We have more customer expectations, and we simply have more product exposure with the proliferant social media. So because we may not have updated our training to reflect those changes, we're experiencing some gaps that translate into non-compliant employee behaviors. So we're going to tackle some of that and give you some ideas to think about on looking critically at your training and how you might improve on some of these or identify some areas that you may want to work on this year. So one of those is the why. And Leanne, you mentioned this, and this is an excellent point. It's you know, oftentimes we don't include that. Sometimes we're not even measuring the effectiveness of training. We're putting it out there and we just expect it to be working, and we don't take time to do a good measurement. And I know that food safety, it's typically not a shared responsibility. It's really hard to project that everybody has a role in food safety, and so it's a challenge for us. And that reinforcement, Leanne, you talked about the communication piece, and I think that's because of the complexity of our business, we can't just rely on that training, and then and not validating those behaviors. So I'm just going to take a couple moments here and talk to you about some of those points. You know, sharing the why, and just as an example of this, we've developed a course along with SQF to really explain what these standards are. What is the SQF certification? And we do it from an employee perspective. And I think that that's so important, again, to share everybody's role. But we work real hard to do it in a visual way. You know, as employees are coming into the plant, they've got a task in front of them. They get on that line and they execute that task, and they're not part of sourcing raw ingredients and where are they coming from, and they're not part of the downstream of customers and how people are using their you know, the product that they're making, and the impact all of that has. And so it really helps. And for example, in this picture, and this is an animated picture in real life in courses, but it's explaining how all of these pieces and parts fit together and how individuals play a role in those pieces and parts. And so, you know, here's a picture that's, I think, worth 1,000 words in trying to explain a complex supply chain. But you can do that in telling stories, as Leanne said. You can talk about from you know, I know people are very creative in trying to share the whys behind what we're doing. So I just encourage you to look at that as a component of making sure you have that included. This is some data from the survey, and it's effective metrics. And we talk about training and how to measure training quality and effectiveness. And you see those how people are doing that. They're measuring the quality right of their product, the employee performance, product safety, defects, number of employees trained. A lot of people track that. And you know, some of these are leading indicators, like employee performance or those behaviors. So if you're observing employees doing the right behaviors and you're reinforcing that, that's certainly a leading indicator. If you see somebody that's or groups of people that doesn't seem to quite understand all five steps, for example, of hand washing, and they're missing one, maybe you need to kind of tweak that training, because that maybe there's something about that they're not getting, or you haven't built into that why strong enough and pulled at those heartstrings that we're trying to have some connection with. And you know, I just encourage you on the lagging indicators, be careful about that, because that's, you know, if you're waiting for customer complaints to roll back, report back that there's some issues, that's kind of historical data. And if you can get out in front of it with, like, for example, this behavioral observations and really looking at and giving feedback and reinforcement, I think you'll be better off. The other thing that I think we're challenged with as an industry is this responsibility for training. And you can see when we ask who's responsible for food safety training in an organization, you can see, and it's no surprise to any of you on this call, that it's QA and QC, right? You're pushing that ball up the hill. You're probably building the training, creating the training, sourcing the training. Your team is executing on the training, and you're competing with the goals of your workplace safety colleagues and your HR team, who's trying to train on those things, right? And there's only so much training time. So one of the things we're seeing as kind of an innovation and people moving in this direction is to instead of being siloed, work with those cross-functional teams so that consider building this learning strategy that is really an override of all those key elements. What's important to your organization? What do you need those folks to know? And I'm going back into what Leanne said. What are those critical elements, both in food safety and workplace safety and operationally? And then mapping out a strategy for training those folks on those things in a partnership so that you're not in a constant conflict with trying to carve out, you know, a very finite amount of time for training, but you're working together to develop this overarching learning strategy. So, you know, it could be looking at the performances, behavioral performances and gaps, looking at making sure the job tasks are addressed and that they're current. Maybe it's a skills assessment on what we're really expecting. So there's lots of things that might go into that overarching learning strategy, and certainly something to consider. I think expanding our training definition is important. And so I think one of the things is we've relied on classroom training a lot. And you can see the work by Dr. Cohn from Portland State University. You know, if you're trying to have long-term retention and knowledge transfer, if you're just relying on that onboarding, that one-and-done training, you've got some struggles. And, of course, research is suggesting that we're really forgetting about 80% of what we've been trained on within 30 days. So there is no surprise that we have some non-compliant behaviors out there. And that goes to the point that Leanne was talking about we need this further communication, right? So when we asked folks, how are you trying to keep this food safety top of mind, people are being very creative, developing supervisor communications, right? In talking about these important topics, food safety topics, in team meetings, having it reoccur, developing posters, including things on bulletin boards, email reminders, digital signage and TV monitors, having rolling messages through there, including newsletters, and you can see all of those. So people, it's what I call rolling thunder. How what's this rolling thunder we have around food safety? How can we keep it really focused so that the other, you know, needs, requirements, goals of the entire operation doesn't mute or override food safety, right? We really want to have a nice balance on that. So people are doing some really neat things to Leanne, you had a great point on really looking at how can we continue to communicate those key elements. And here at Alchemy, we've worked with industry to look at what are those common issues, right? What are those things that we struggle with the behaviors in these areas, and we've developed monthly campaigns with these kinds of tools to make it easy on folks to be able to do it. And the nice thing about this is if you're resource constrained and you've maxed out the training time, these are things that people can do as a matter of, you know, when their team huddles for 5 minutes, you're holding up a poster here, and on the front side is what employees are able to see, and on the back is where the supervisor can has some hints on how to engage those folks just in a real quick 5-minute conversation. Here's what we're going to focus on, and get some dialogue going about it and talking about that and carrying that on with posters that they see in the break rooms, etc., and maybe digital signage as they're coming up and clocking in. And then a coach would be observing those behaviors. So you're focused on those behaviors, and then you're wanting to see, yes, are they working? So lots of ways to do it, and lots of resources out there to do it. I guess I could say that employees really are your best line of defense. I think we all know that. But this concept of learning, it does need to be consistent and have some consistency around that, so that learning strategy is important. And then this communications, and we've talked about it. So how do we overcome that forgetting curve and the fact that people are forgetting and the fact that we you know, we are exhausting ourselves with all this training that we're doing and all these different topics, and yet we still see these non-compliant behaviors. Well, we've got to continue to communicate the message, and we've got to verify those employee behaviors. And by the way, giving those folks the attaboys, hey, you've got this, right? I appreciate your ability, your willingness to follow the hand wash protocol. You're keeping our products safe and our customers safe, our family safe, who's eating our products. So all of that is really important. And then obviously verifying the performance. Is our plan working? Are we executing on our training to a level that it really is changing those behaviors? And using the tools that are available out there to do that. And by the way, part of that is training those supervisors and giving them not only the technical knowledge, so what is it that we want those employees to do? And by the way, if they ask you why do we have to do that, that we're arming those supervisors with the whys, but also we're giving them the soft skills to be able to execute on the coaching and mentoring and motivating those employees. So those are soft skills that some of our supervisors, we may have promoted those folks for their technical know-how. They know how to manage equipment, and but they may not have those soft skills, and that's something that we may need to also think about how we can better arm those folks and prepare those folks to make a difference and help drive those compliant behaviors for our employees. So in summary, I've just shared with you some the importance of the whys. I think most of us all know that, but we can do that in different ways, and maybe just looking at individual courses, those courses that are important to your organization, make sure they cover the whys. And then looking at effectiveness, measuring effectiveness. Food safety is always a challenge. Workplace is so much better. It's so much easier to measure days without accidents, or near misses. But you know what? You could do near misses with food safety too. And I know we've had some conversation even this week about maybe that's part of what we need to be doing as a way to look at how well we're doing in our food safety culture. So this concept of sharing responsibility, you know, why does QA and QC have to be the point person on food safety, and everybody points to us to move that dial? It really needs to be a shared experience, and that corporate learning strategy is super important to consider. If we talked about training supervisors and the folks that are doing that and doing that well, gosh, they're having some fabulous results in elevating and optimizing behaviors. So finding a way to move those supervisors out a little bit of their firefighting and admin jobs and tasks, but moving those more into effective coaches and mentoring and reinforcing. And then finally, the communication, driving, you know, having these food safety campaigns, these communication tools are so important to drive behaviors. So hopefully between Leanne and I, we've given you some things to think about, some things coming down the pike from SQF and how you might take a fresh look at your training to see if you can do some tweaks to make some improvements. With that, I'll turn it over to Chase. Thanks, Chase.
First and foremost, thank you to Laura and Leanne for taking the time to join us today. It was a wealth of information, and we're very appreciative of that. The next thing I'd like to point out real quick is that we have an upcoming webinar next week, Record Keeping and Documentation, Best Practices for Compliance. We'd like to extend an invitation to everyone participating in today's call. It will be another wonderful session with Holly and Kristen, and they'll give a lot of insight on ways that you can improve your record keeping and documentation in today's digital landscape. In addition to that, we've talked quite a bit about FSMA and some of the preventive controls rules. Leanne mentioned some resources available for SQF. We'll use this moment to do a little drop about Alchemy and the courses that we offer. We have three different options for preventative controls classes. There's on-site classroom courses that we offer across the country. If your need is such that you have, say, eight or more individuals from your facility that you would like to become a preventative controls qualified individual, we can actually come on your site and do a private session. And then we are pleased to announce that we have recently launched a blended e-learning course, which is a self-paced module that has a corresponding virtual instructor-led session. So you can do it from the comfort of your own home or office. That course launched at our Alchemy conference last week. We're very excited about it. At present, we're offering a $250 discount using the code PCQI250, and you can see the alchemysystems.com preventive control link there. Again, which will be hyperlinked in the proposal that you get with. So just a couple additional resources that are available from Alchemy, and let us know if you have any feedback. Now on to the really fun part, Q&A. And Leanne, I will direct the first question your way. Does SQF mandate training on any of these topics specifically, or does it just depend on the company's individual requirements and needs?
So the only training that we mandate within the SQF code is HACCP training for the practitioner. So the SQF practitioner has to have HACCP training. And then the other training that, so that's like formal training. So the other training has to be related to your, to what training needs you have identified. The other thing that we pulled out is internal audit training. So there has to be internal audit training, but it's not a formal program. So you don't have to take a qualified internal auditor training course, but there has to be training for those individuals that are doing internal auditor training, similar to HACCP training. You have to have HACCP training for those individuals that are doing HACCP activities like CCP operators or CQP operators. So you have to have that. And then just refresher training and, you know, just general food safety training as it relates to your facility. So the good thing about the SQF code is that we're not prescriptive in the sense that we outline exactly what your training needs to be, except for, you know, HACCP training and internal auditor training, et cetera. But really, you're identifying those training needs in your facility and the frequency that it needs to be conducted.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. Unfortunately, just doing a quick time check, we're coming up on the end. So we have one more question that we have time for. And Laura, this one will be directed your way. With the major nonconformance being lack of documentation and training, would you recommend the use of quality management software to address this? Or if not, what recommendation would you make?
That's a great question. And the good news is there are tools out there. And I think, you know, a lot of times we have our head down. We're not looking at what technology tools are emerging out there that will help us with this as we're buried in record keeping. So, yes, I think there's lots of tools. I know, you know, that was an important thing for us to automate and eliminate sign-up sheets and those kinds of things to take that burden off of folks on the training side. And there are some definite resources out there to do that. You know, you'll have to look at them to see what needs you're really wanting to meet. Are you looking to manage your supply chain? Are you looking for traceability needs? Are you looking for, you know, certification management of those documents? And so there are products that have those components to them. So you'll need to match up your needs. What's the biggest area that you're wanting to address? And then take a look at that. So yeah, I definitely recommend looking at that those technology resources.
Well, thank you so much for that answer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, I'd like to take a quick moment and say thank you again for joining us today. It was wonderful to have you guys participating and submitting all the questions. Secondly, thank you so much to Laura and Leanne for joining us today and providing such a wealth of information. So again, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy workday, and we look forward to seeing you next week for our record-keeping webinar.